If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the love of the One Divine Presence. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is Embracing the Sound of Silence. So let's take a deep breath and fully inhabit yourself multidimensionally, including this place marker of divine love, your body, in time and space. Feel and experience the stillness that is the enveloping presence of who you are beyond thought, beyond projecting and imagining, efforting and becoming. It is that truly comfortable, natural place, sweet, simple, uncomplicated, the place you share eternally with, in, and as divine. It needs nothing added to it. There is no seeking, no desiring, no iota of lack. It is the fullness of the full that is you, unadorned by the fabrications of thought and imagining with which you have clothed yourself with conditioned valences in this and a myriad of appearances in time and space. But that is not to be of any concern to you, because the moment you are aware that which arises as a longing, a seeking, a desperation, a wanting to have, an imperative to have, once you realize that that is just more mind chatter, once you see that, you already are stepping free of it. You really don't need to do anything but keep your spiritual eyes open. That's all. Your physical eyes could be closed or open. That's not what sees. What sees is behind your eyeballs. It is that which transcends the confines of the body. It is that which inhabits every quark of creation with your holiness. That is who you are. So take a deep breath and expand your sense of self as formless ecstasy, formless awareness, aware, awake, alert, but still inside, all the desperation and frantic crazies has fallen away. That's what we refer to as soul transcendence. You move your spiritual inner awareness deep inside and awaken to that which has always been and ever will be your secure identity. It is embracing the sound of silence. That silence that roars the name of God, that sings and rings as a vitality of energy in every single atom. It is that which sings as the symphony of the cosmos. It is the living word that spoke all into creation. And yet it is beyond all sound such as we would know sound to be. It transcends and yet has become all of the forms. How everything that appears is but a manifestation of that sound of silence, of that awesome ecstasy that thrills every cell of existence. Do you want that, my beloveds? Of course. Why else would you be listening? Why else would you be adopting a, quote, spiritual path? And yet, even in adopting a spiritual path, is it not a way of saying, I'm not enough? Are you not the way, the light, and the truth itself? Can there be any difference between the Creator and the manifestation extension of the Creator as you? Can there be difference in the ocean and the waves that arise for a time on the surface to glisten and sparkle in the sunlight? And then to once again merge with the vastness. But it's an interesting thing to awaken in the vastness, as the vastness, because you do not lose that precious acquirement through your immersion in countless births into time and space. Illusory though they may be, they are so vitally important to extending divine awareness, to incorporating a greater degree of experiential contribution of your unique soul. No one can see through your particular lens of consciousness but you. No one can experience in identical patterning your way of seeing, viewing, interpreting, and dancing in this quantum universe. So you are the one always, even as you come to discover you're also the many, until you also recognize yourself in everyone. Until not only are you your brother's keeper, you are your brother. That divine awareness is one and the same, even though it is individualized uniquely. As a snowflake embodies an individual unique patterning. Can you imagine how many divine unique patterns there are in a mountain covered with snowflakes? Let's put your awareness there for a second. Every one of those snowflakes is a unique divine geometric pattern. Is that amazing or what? And in like manner, let's say all of the souls that ever were are represented in all of the snows and all of the mountains and glaciers throughout this entire planet. Not one is the same. No one can replace you. That is how precious your life is, your awareness, your experiences, your awakening. But even your descent into darkness and illusion, even in the formation of a separative sense of self, it is the awakening within that chrysalis that sounds a unique energetic vibration that sets the cosmos even freer. You release an energy of liberation through your own coming to cognitive awareness within the pits of your own despair, within the morass of your own self-indictment. Within all of the many, what you would view as errors, mistakes, there is a divine perfection working its way through, utilizing everything, everything for good, for God, to expand the universe. You are serving just as you breathe in and out. You are processing the same breath that has been breathed by every great being in the cosmos. You are inhaling the sun, the moons, the stars, the divine throne realms, the ascended angelic hosts. And all of those that are in the process of awakening from lesser points of identification, you're inhaling and processing and homogenizing all of it in your flaming glory, in your holiness, your wholeness, your fullness, the sound of the stillness and silence. That roars the name of God. That is your name, and my name, and everyone's name. One breath, one life, one divine source, appearing as the many. So this presence that you are is not to be understood. It's a state beyond your thinking, your imagining, the content of the known. It is that which is beyond. Because everything that is born of thought must at some point be dissolved. Because the thinking itself becomes transcended by being. In the divine state, you don't create through thinking, but through being. So Krishnamurti, the great 20th century initiate, philosopher, referred to this state as the otherness, as the vastness. And it's that pause, that gap between thoughts, between breaths, between the ego's thoughts and the spirit's awareness. And it's a sense of all-embracive encompassment. It's being able to be present without the need to interpret, to make something out of, to label or define. It's simply awareness, quietly observing, through eyes glowing with bliss. It's not a static state. It's not a state that you have to sit quietly. Oh, maybe until you get a sense of it. Till you get your sea legs under you, so to speak. Your S-E-E legs under you. No, it's quite importable. Everywhere you are, you can practice it. How do you do that? Quit trying to change things and people. And realize that whenever you are denying the present moment, you are trapped in the illusion that what you're experiencing right now is not important. That there's something else that is more important. Sometimes it's you've made that future when you will be or achieve or whatever more important than here and now. Any time that you wish something was different from this present moment, that you were somewhere else, in another state, that's a subtle way of resisting, embracing that sound of silence. And that subtle, subtle resistance is the way we block our awareness of the divine presence here and now. It's the illusion's dictum of seek, but never find. Because the ego structure, the thinking ego mind, must keep you apart from awareness. That's the only way it can survive. It has to have conflict, complaining, controversy, dissatisfaction. That's what fuels it and feeds it and keeps it alive. So it can never allow you to arrive at any point of inner peace. It's dedicated to keep you away from anything that would truly be joyful and peaceful. It's that part that demands that you have to achieve and accomplish. And I'm not saying that we can't achieve and accomplish, but you know, when you are operating from integrated divine awareness, things have a way of taking on a creative life of their own. You become magnetically attractive to that which you need to bring into your orbit to manifest the glory of God. Because you're working in the harmony with the divine creative intelligence. And everything has a way of getting accomplished through you as a divine facilitator. And that's what the human form is all about, is divine facilitation of the light, the sound, the silence, presence, the fullness of the divine consciousness, where the only mechanism, the human being is the only mechanism that is multidimensionally full spectrum in its operative variations of consciousness, its ability to move in and out and appropriate and manifest any state. That's why you do not discount, deny, avoid, suppress, judge, or condemn any state of consciousness, be it anger, be it impatience, whatever is there, have tea with it, make friends with it, embrace it, let it teach you how to just experience it without identifying with it. You don't have to put on a state of vibration. That is not part of who you truly are. You can recognize it, that it's an operative at a certain vibrational wavelength. But you, as conscious awareness, always have the ability to host the vibrational frequency that you most resonate with. And anger always has a form of fear. Behind every display of anger is the fear of not being in control. So it is a form of ignorance. It is a form of the ego wanting, again, to control the show. But that doesn't mean that you judge yourself when you enter into anger. Recognize the anger as an energy that has its own dharma, it has its own work to do, and allow it to be what it is and do what it does. Just don't own it and put it on as your identity. This is how you learn to discern what to infuse with your awareness, what to keep company with, and what to just allow to go on its way. Notice that the stillness without the mind is the peace of God. The thinking mind, the ego mind, the labeling, questioning, questing, seeking, desperate mind is noise. It's the noise of mental agitation, a continual process of separating and dividing and labeling and judging. But awareness is absorption in beauty. It's that absorption that you see in a bumblebee that's drinking deeply of the nectar of the flowers. So when you notice that stillness, it is because it is arising within you as the bliss of your own sense of formlessness. There is a tremendous bliss that arises in you when you discover yourself as conscious awareness apart from the form. Again, not disowning or discounting the value of the form. The form is a container through which God, as you, experiences life amidst the many forms. And it is a way of exercising creative variation and potential. Perhaps the divine had a desire to experience itself as the many. It doesn't matter. What is, we are one spirit. We are spirit experiencing ourselves as humanity. So that greater awareness creates without noise. It creates out of ecstasy, out of bliss. And you know, it's interesting. The ego mind is actually very useful in navigating falsehood. So when you live at the level of the world, which is really a big ego, big collective ego projection, the mind is good for sorting things out. It's good for everything, actually, except for the one thing that is the most important thing of all, and that is knowing yourself. So, take a deep breath. Just be aware. That deep sense of stillness. That is your aura. That is a vastness within you. All great spirits are clothed in stillness. One senses the aura of their peace. You can find that stillness, that vastness, that otherness in any situation. And here is the key. I'm moving into embracement and accepting whatever is going on in you, around you, whatever it is, when you make peace with it and allow it to be, you will notice, you're aware, that that stillness and calmness becomes present regardless of the content of the situation. That is a tremendous exercise of spiritual inner awareness. So your power is released in saying yes to life, yes to this moment, yes to this experience, yes to this state of energy that's flowing through my consciousness. When you realize that you are that deep stillness and that all things happen that need to happen perfectly and divinely in their own proper flow, that you're always in divine timing. You're always in perfect divine order. That's the absolute truth. You cannot possibly miss that which you are destined to experience and to have. So all of this desperation to make things happen, to create things being different than they are, all of that actually is what creates the blocks and delays the manifestation. It's like putting a lot of boulders in your path and wondering why your life is so encumbered and blocked. You put that there by resistance to the present moment, by resistance to accepting and embracing the present perfection. And, you know, as we build this false self, perhaps it's useful to see how we took on these valences, at least our storyline of believing how we took them on, in the process of extending pure spirit into form, we took on successfully, let's say, appropriated layers of conditioned consciousness from the top down using up and down model, which is not accurate, but that's the way we tend to see and think in the the human understanding. At the level of the spirit, pure spirit or monad, the I am presence, you are simply in a state of being, I am. As that spirit extends as a stream of consciousness into individualized divinity and awareness, it's called the soul. At that level, you say, I am that. At the etheric level, the veil of forgetfulness comes upon you. And at that point, you say, I forgot that I am. In fact, you don't even remember. There is an I am to forget at that level. But it's an unconsciousness that comes in at that point, which is a good thing because it allows you to have a fresh new experience without importing your conditioning from other lifetimes. And from the etheric veil of forgetfulness, you come into the mental sheath of consciousness that folds itself around your divine essence. And that's the first formation of the fictitious self that identifies itself in separation. And here, it's a matter of, I think, therefore, I am my mind and thoughts. And then you step down into the causal realm, and you begin to become clothed in the energy substance of that dimensional plane. And there, it's all about emotion. I feel, therefore I am sensation. And then integrating another sheath of consciousness and conditioning, you get wrapped in the astral plane, which is the plane of imagination. And here, you identify self, much like you might say, I imagine. Therefore, what I imagine is real. And then, finally, you come into full integration. In the lowest compression of light, into physical form. And here, you began to identify with a physical body. And in that identification, there becomes a very strong, let's say, attachment to ensuring your survival, avoiding pain, and reacting by fighting or fleeing from any form of threat. And all of this creates what we call a fictitious character that has been formed over millions of years and countless immersions into time and space bound worlds and births and deaths. And that bundle of conditioned assumptions, false interpretations and identifications, with all of its labelings and thought projections, is what we think of as ourself and our only identity. And that is the false ego self. That's the fictitious self. So this great shift in consciousness that we're currently undergoing is that in this quantum shift, we are moving from being that ego-bound, self-seeking person that consumes and selfishly uses and abuses the environment and each other, and we're moving into a new consciousness that is being birthed in humanity, which is free of this personalized, ego-restricted selfhood. You're still going to be an individual person, but a free one, now liberated into a joyful person, bringing life and loving and laughter and sharing and being as a collective. The sense of separate me and mine and to heck with everyone else, this will be completely transformed by the bathing of the energies that are now, as we speak, bringing that instrumental shifting and transformative power that is in operation in every cell of our being and every layer of consciousness multidimensionally that we have just described. So you'll find yourself becoming quite ordinary, quite simple and uncomplicated. Because as you embrace the sound of silence, you also discover the power of non-resistance, the power of yes, the power of being present in loving appreciation, allowing everyone and everything to be what they are and express as they need to. Because when you see and interact with life from a position of divine awareness, you bring an ordering that begins a harmonization. Just like if you have, for example, two stringed instruments in a room, or even distanced in a house, and you pluck one of those strings or a harmonic chord, that other stringed instrument will begin to resonate with that vibrational chord. And we are all being divinely plucked, each of our instruments, so that a harmonic chord is now resonating through us as a collective body of light workers, that is beginning to cause a similar resonance to occur throughout the world. Yes, that's how that transformation is occurring. It is so perfectly orchestrated. So the only thing that any of us needs to do is to keep our instrument tuned and attuned in the sound of silence. When you are absorbed in your spiritual practice and you lose a sense of selfhood and you become absorbed in the divine name, let's say you're chanting your initiatory mantra or tone, there becomes a point in your spiritual practice in which you merge with that sound. The first thing that the sound does is encapsulate and entrain the ego mind so that it becomes synergized in a higher vibration and begins that transmutative process that lifts it and transcends it beyond where it's invested in its agenda of separate identity. And that sound, once it begins to fill the mind stream, it begins to dissolve that ego, that personal, lower, energetic, and begins to lift it into what is called expanded divine awareness or soul consciousness or Christ consciousness or Buddha consciousness, whatever term you prefer here. And at some point, you merge with that sound. And you're no longer chanting. You have become that sound. So you are the sound of silence that roars the name of God. You become completely the divine living word made flesh. That is the power of the yoga of the living word, the Sirvat Shabd yoga of the light and the sound that is the divine spirit within you. So everything that you attend to, eventually you discover is your very own self. And all of your stories that you've woven about your many becomings, all the scrapbooks and the Akashic records of your immersions and this personality and that role play and that character, and eventually in the theater of life you've played every role, you've been every character, you've worn every costume, you've done every shenanigan, and all of that you no longer identify with, but you can put it up on the home screen of your own personal Akashic viewer and laugh your head off as you look at your shenanigans and histrionics and history. And they are remembered in the presence and in the stillness of the silence. So there's no personal owning of them. There's no reaction. There's no sense of being victimized by your past. You simply view it as the suchness of the isness. And you stay in that divine observer. And, of course, the future will come. But you're no longer having any problem because you haven't projected yourself into a future identity at the loss of the appreciation of the present now. So you'll notice that from that present nowness, an effortless action, or nishkama karma, desireless action, the dharma, the natural behavior of you as a spirit, a liberated being, just simply happens. Things get done, things appear at the right moment, and you fulfill what needs to be fulfilled, and there is a divine ease and grace and flow to it. Whereas the ego is always involved in self-effort, and therefore it's always stressful and exerting itself. And when you operate from stress and exertion, you burn out. You can't keep an engine on high rev all the time without it getting overheated. So learn to rest in that stillness, in that present. And it's good to bear in mind that you don't have to be spiritual. You only need to really relinquish the thought that you are not spiritual, that you're not ascended whole and free right now. So you notice that every moment is perfect when it's observed from awareness. There's absolutely nothing to resist, to complain about, to object to. You have no problems and no issues. And you're at peace with life as it is. And you simply enjoy observing the show from that place of inner wholeness and stillness. Which means that outwardly, you're involved in your life. We're not talking about a departure from action, a departure from engagement. What we're talking about is not identifying with your action, not identifying with the whatever it is that you're involved with, or interacting with, or the scenario in which you are interacting. You don't identify and lose yourself in that. You maintain a participant-observer presence no matter what you're doing, which means for a while you're going to slow down and prioritize and bring greater quality into what you do every day. You're going to do your job with greater impeccability, with a greater sense of accountability and presence, so that everything you do it the very best you possibly can with all your heart, because you're doing it as a co-worker with God. You're a divine facilitator of God's perfection into time and space. And bringing that apparent illusion of imperfection back into harmonic resonance and the recognition of its essential wholeness and holiness and oneness. You're here to reveal that all life is one. All life is made of the warmth and weft of love alone. So that combined energy field of complexity and conflict and confusion is what has birthed all of the conflict and complexity and confusion in the world. And today we are watching it coming down like a house of cards. And we just need to hold that stillness present and that awareness that it is all getting resolved and sorted out as a new world begins to set in, a new frequency in every area of our life, in politics and finance and business and how we grow our food, how we deal with our fellow man. Why would we seek to kill and destroy and harm and maim, when what people really need is compassionate, loving care in meeting their needs and helping them into a greater quality of life? Why should 82% of the world's goods be confined to a small handful of nations, when we're one world with one humanity and one divine presence indwelling all? So it's awakening from that mindset that sees somebody outside as different, as expendable, as evil, as different from, that we are awakening from that awful nightmare. That is what has kept us miserable. Because when you turn against any one of your many selves out there, you have imprisoned yourself and bound yourself and confined yourself to that same condition. So when you judge something, you actually begin to resonate that thing that you've judged. You literally become the thing that you judge. Haven't you ever noticed when you make an edict, "Oh, I'll never do that"? Haven't you found, I sure have, that every time I set my sturdy little ego agenda against some action, I ended up doing it. I ended up embodying that very thing I had judged. So that's a quality, according to Sai Baba, of the Kali Yuga, that you become whatever you judge. Whatever wrongness and againstness you have projected on your fellow man, you will find yourself, hopefully quickly, so you don't have to re-embody again, you'll find yourself moving into that state. That's why to set yourself free, you must first forgive. If you want to be free, you have to accord freedom to others. And in highest truth, you have absolutely no business telling another person how they have to live, how they have to believe, what they have to do, what they should eat, how they should wear their hair, what colors they should wear. You can selectively choose with whom you wish to participate. Like attracts like. But you have no business trying to change anyone. You can't change yourself. So why waste your time trying to change the world? Krishnamurti wrote a wonderful book, many wonderful books, but one of them is You Are the World. In fact, I strongly recommend reading some Krishnamurti. It will sure straighten your mind out real fast. Here was a, according to the esoteric tradition, a fourth degree initiate who had transcended the soul itself and was operating from pure monadic awareness, that complete monism of the spirit. And he had a piercing way of insightfully looking into people and situations as he would take his daily walks. And the many people that would come throughout the world to sit in his presence and to ask him questions. Read some of Krishnamurti. I think you'll find it very interesting. My favorite of all the Krishnamurti books is Krishnamurti's Notebook, which basically is his daily observations. And so that's what it looks like when you're operating from that vast yourself. Not that he was able to stay in it all the time. He, like all of us, was a full-spectrum analyzer. From time to time, he dropped out and got involved in identifying the various things, and we will, and we do. That's part of being in that multidimensional full-spectrum analyzer that we call the human consciousness. But we're not just that. We're more than that. So don't get identified with being just a human. You're a multidimensional divine continuum of omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-present, all-pervasive divinity. That's who and what you truly are. And your wavelength is slowed down to a particular individualized viewpoint to process and bring through your spectrum analyzer that pure divine creative potential to a new level. So that's your, let's say, your job assignment in this dimensional shift, because the ascension is simply a shift of awareness, a shift of realization. But out of that will birth an entirely different world. Ultimately, and sooner than we think, according to Sai Baba, we will move into what has been called the Golden Age. And so that is what we are looking for. We will not have a third world war. The earth will not be destroyed. That happened in another globe at another time. And sometimes the remembrance of that or the valence of that causes people to project that into Earth's history now. Some of you remember Atlantis sinking, or even Lemuria, or maybe even the galactic battles of Orion, the Star Wars scenarios that were played out in the ego's nightmare, in the illusory arenas of time, space, and becomingness. But that doesn't mean that that's what's happening today. And when you move into that divine vastness, that ringing radiance of the soundless sound, you will notice that in highest truth we've never left the heart of God. And you will begin to peer through the illusion of the outer forms of people and begin to see the one divine presence shining from all of them. So, even though we've come heavily laden with baggage, and conditioning. We all do come to that point when we choose to awaken and return our awareness to our divine truth and source. And it's so simple. One can awaken in an instant. Once you clearly see that you've been identifying with your thought forms instead of yourself as awareness. So relinquish the belief that you have to wait to be enlightened or to ascend or to be masterful or to be, do, and have, whatever. And own it within you as a state of fullness and wholeness. Right now. And make your life about that. And again, a simple way of cultivating that daily is no matter what it is, bless it and thank God for it as a sign of divine grace. Only the ego complains. So observe if you tend to complain and bitch and moan and get all agitated and irritated and frustrated. You're operating out of that fictitious character we call the false self. But bundled up under all of that mental noise and drama and emotional mood making is your true identity as unconditioned pure awareness. So, whenever you experience a gap of silence between thoughts, between breaths, or at the exquisite height of orgasm, you can sense your divine self. You can sense it when you're giving birth. You will sense it at the moment of death. Or you can die daily as you enter into samadhi. That is the unified state of complete absorption in the beloved. It's your choice. But that immensity of ecstatic being beyond thought is you, ever full and free. Sometimes a stillness can be experienced while watching the sunrise or sunset, so it's no wonder this has been adopted as a spiritual practice in many indigenous cultures. So whenever mental activity is stilled and transcended, that immensity, that vastness of your true divine presence is experienced. The dervishes twirl around and around and thus enter that space of inner absorption. And mystics, both ancient and modern, gaze into the flame of a candle or a fireplace to transcend thought. So, however you still, at seeking, thinking, questioning, doubting, skeptical, projecting mind, just observe it. Don't judge it. Don't identify with it. Just watch it. And as it dawns in your awareness and you see it for what it is, it completely begins to dissolve. And you will find that you are embracing the sound of silence. So let's take a deep breath and chant the Anahu as we allow that divine sound to dissolve the angst of the mind into the bliss of the presence. Deep breath. Ah, no. You are the voice and presence of the silence, here and now. God bless you, and God willing, I'll be with you next week. Adonai.